The youth lesson that concluded last month is study of the Ten Commandments with the study on the Tenth Commandment. If everyone who lives in the Western world would obey, there would not be any keeping up with the Joneses. Everyone trying to outdo the neighbor or outdo their fellow employee. It would not be any slander or backstabbing, as people who have aspirations or who are coveting a position as they climb up the ladder of what they deem as success. Today we live in a very non-religion or secular society, where many look upon the Ten Commandments as being out of date, done away with, or they don't apply to us in this modern day society. Laws are for our good, and each of us, when we were children, and we taught our children not to go out and run in the street, not to stick your finger in an electric outlet, or touch a hot stove. Why? Because it's there to protect the child from possible serious injury or even death. And another example, if out on the main road outside here, there's an intersection with a traffic light. If we decide one day when the light is on red on our side to drive through, one or two things will happen. Either you will get a stiff traffic ticket from the sheriff or from the highway patrol, or you will cause a massive accident which may result in death. And sometimes, despite whatever we do, someone else is not doing what they're supposed to do and cause an accident. But that light is there to protect us. It's a law that everyone should obey to save injury or even death. And many in our society look upon God's laws as being negative, but they are for our protection. It's a hedge about us to keep us safe physically, emotionally, and socially. They define what pure love is, and keeping them puts us in the presence of the one who is love, God. My title this afternoon is The Desires of the Heart and Mind. Let's turn to Exodus 20, and we read verse 17. Exodus 20 and verse 17. Exodus 20 is where the Ten Commandments are listed, and they're also mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Exodus 17 and verse 20. Exodus 20, verse 17. I will get there. Verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. The negative pull of our human nature are simply too powerful for each of us to combat covetousness or to combat the pulls of the flesh. Quoting from Life Application Study Bible, commented on verse 17 of Exodus. To covet is to wish to have the possessions of others. It's beyond simply admiring someone else's possession or thinking, I would like to have one of those. Coveting includes envy, resenting the fact that others have what you desire or you want. Our human emotions Motives define and govern the way we respond to everyone we come in contact with. Our transgressions of God's law of love began in the heart, as Jesus confirmed in Mark 7, verse 21 through 23. Human nature, we have a thought, and that thought becomes a desire, and that desire becomes an action. Mark 7, verse 21 and through 23. Verse 21. From within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murder. Verse 22. Theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All of these evils come from within and defile a man. Several years after I came into the church and was baptized, I rented a room from an elderly couple. And I told them that I can't eat shellfish or pork. And it's the woman of the house refers to the scripture, and I didn't know how to answer her, but I didn't think about Peter's dream, that where he saw that animals in the dream that he shouldn't eat, or quote the scripture Leviticus 11. But I never argued with her. She never question why I didn't eat pork. What does covet mean? It means to crave or desire, especially in excess or improper ways. The 10th commandment does not tell us that all desires are wrong. It just tells us that some are. Let's look at a classic example of covetousness. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14 and 15. Here's a being that was created by God. We had everything. And he was, as it describes, he was perfect as a human, as an angel. But he wasn't satisfied with what he had. He wanted more. Verse 14 of Ezekiel 28. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stone. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Verse 16. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled violence within, and you sin. Therefore, I cast you as profane things out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stone. Here's a being who God created to do a certain job, but he wanted to take over. He wanted to take over and be in place of God. A couple of personal examples. You might describe it as being coveted, coveting. As I mentioned many times, I grew up on a farm. But my father did not buy a tractor until my late teenage years. Prior to that, I always had a desire to drive a 4010 John Deere tractor, because the green and the yellow was exciting, and many of the neighbors had new tractors and everything, and I wanted to be seen sitting on this tractor driving and up and down the roads plowing or planting or cultivating. And also, if he couldn't buy a John Deere, he could buy a Ford, and I had the right size that he could buy, the 4010, with the size that fit would cover our farm. And I decided to sit in on that tractor with the light blue, white tires, and would enjoy driving that tractor, plowing the field. I wasn't looking forward to walking behind mules, but my father did buy a tractor, not a new one, but a used one, which covered, which did the work as a new one anyway. Another desire I had was after leaving home and starting working on full time, Mr. Prickett may recognize this statement. I wanted to drive a 1969 Chevrolet SS396. SS is Super Sport. And I could see myself driving it if this is the right terminology, a coupe with the loud mufflers, not loud, not real loud, but loud enough where you could drive down the road and people would hear you and see you. But at that time, I did not have the finances to afford that. So that was something that I would desire or covet. Coveting is an immoral longing for something that is not rightfully ours. That is usually because the object of our desire belongs to someone else. The example of Ahab in 1 Kings 21, verse 2 through 7. 1 Kings 21, verse 2 through 7. Here you had a king who had a neighbor living by, and he wanted this neighbor's vineyard to become his own. And when the neighbor turned him down, he became distraught. But his wife had an answer for it. Chapter 21, verse 2. So Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near to my house, for it I will give you a vineyard better than it, or if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you." So Ahab went into his house, sudden and displeased because of the word that Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my father." And he lay down on his bed and turned away. Lost my place. I'll skip down to verse 7. Then Jezebel, his wife, said to him, You now exercise authority over Israel. Arise, eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." What she did was she conspired and gave out some false information and falsely charged Naboth with something that he could be guilty of and be murdered. So here's a classic example of another classic example of someone who is coveting something that didn't belong to them. The focus of the 10th commandment is that we are not to illegally desire anything that already belongs to someone else. The opposite of coveting is a positive desire to help others preserve, protect their blessings from God. We should rejoice when others are blessed. Our desires should be to contribute to the well-being of others. to make what they have been blessed with and have our presence in their lives become a blessing. What are some of the signs of covetousness? Quoting from an article from the United Church of God website written in February of 2011, titled The Tenth Commandment. Number one, we are, as human beings, selfish. Our natural way of doing things is always to think of ourselves first. We are, as human beings, far more interested in what we can get, not what we can give. This is the focus of what God is denouncing in the 10th commandment. He tells us to stop thinking of ourselves, to quit seeking our own interest. Coveting is a selfish approach to life. Selfishness is the root of our transgressions of God's law. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 expands this point. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. James also writes how dangerous and how out of control desire can be in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Chapter 4 of James, verse 1 and 2. Where do wars and fighting come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure and war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Coveting can be the root cause of many sins, including murder and warfare. If not controlled, what begins as a thought becomes an obsession that leads to an act. All of us, as human beings, have conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. We have all let our desires rule our behavior, and we have all sinned, as Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us. The second point, coveting inflicts the entire world. No matter where you are, you at any given time can be guilty of coveting. The Apostle Paul's description of envious people in the last days is very telling. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous time will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Our society is unique in history. Greed has always been a curse to humanity. And as I read in 2 Timothy 3, many of those things are very evident or present in our current society. In Jeremiah 22 and verse 17, it speaks of one of those last king of Israel, of Judah. Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 17. Jeremiah 22 and verse 17. Yet your eyes and your heart are for nothing, but your covetousness for shedding innocent blood and practicing oppression and violence. The problem is not limited to kings or people who are in big positions or high positions, as Jeremiah 6 and verse 13 brings out. Jeremiah 6 and verse 13. Jeremiah 6 and verse 13. Verse 13. Because from the least of them even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophets even to the priests, everyone deals falsely. God expressed his hatred of Israel's covetousness and warned of the ultimate outcome. In Micah 2, verse 2 and 3. Micah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Micah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. They covet fields and take them by violence, also houses, and seize them. So they oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster from which you cannot remove your neck. One of the examples that is evident or present in our society today is the universal acceptance of coveting. By that I mean the lottery, where people, when it reaches 350 million or 400 million, people are like flies to meet. They are out spending money that many actually do not have to spend. To have that chance to spend a few dollars to make 300 some million or 500 million. And the people who advertise and are who behind these lotteries, they know what nerves to push or what advertisement to entice people to spend money. And promoting covetousness is a big bend in our society. They make a science. Advertisers make a science out of learning how to manipulate the selfish appetite of consumers. Like ancient Israel, we are a covetous society, from the great to the least. The third point is, coveting is a form of idolatry. Covetousness is much more serious than just a social issue or problem. When we put greed, lust, and self before God, we commit idolatry. Paul warns us in Colossians 3, verse 5 through 6. Colossians 3, verse 5 through 6. Colossians 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Paul elsewhere links the sins of coveting with idolatry, pointing out that these and other sins can prevent us from entering God's kingdom. Jesus commanded his disciples to beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the things of the abundance of things that we possess. That's according from Luke 12, verse 15. Likewise, Paul tells us in Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out for not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. God's way of love is to practice this kind of concern for others. And here in Romans chapter 13, verse 9 and 10, it's outlined some things that we should do or should not do. Romans 13, verse 9 through 10. Verse 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this thing, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of God's law. Each of us honor our neighbor's house, our neighbor's spouse, property, job, and we desire only good for our neighbor. We pray for them that they would use all that they have to the glory of God. Why? Because as we recall from last week's sermon by Dr. Ward, membership in the family of God is the ultimate goal for all humanity. If we keep that in focus, we will protect our heart and strive for purity in all that we think and desire. How do we combat covetousness? Number one, we must have faith that God will provide a way for us to satisfy our legitimate needs. Not our wants, but our needs. We have good reason to have such confidence. The scripture promised that he will never leave, will never abandon us if we obey and trust him. As Hebrews 13, verse 5 states that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such thing as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Paul expresses the same principle in other words in 1 Timothy 6, verse 7 through 10. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7 through 10. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Many of us have heard the expression that when someone is having a funeral, there's not a U-Haul or a Penske truck carrying their belongings to the graveyard with them. So that scripture in 1 Timothy is right on. Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, when drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The second point, how we combat covetousness. Covetousness cannot be defeated without help from God. We can't do it alone. We need the help of God. To receive that help, we must ask for it, especially requesting that God's will, give us the Holy Spirit. Then we must allow God's Spirit to work within us to change the way we think. As brought out in Galatians 5, let's turn over to Galatians 5 in verse 16 and 17. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Third, another point on combating covetousness. We need to have our desire pointed or guided in the right direction. Jesus explained that we should seek first his kingdom and God's righteousness in Matthew 6 and verse 33. He also instructed us to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's Matthew 6, 20 through 21. Having a proper relationship and spiritual understanding and wisdom are examples of lasting treasures that God wants and desires for each of us. Proverbs 2, verse 3 and 5, it tells us how we receive that wisdom and understanding. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. Proverbs 2, verse 3 through 5. Verse 3. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11, a few chapters over, Proverbs 8 and verse 11, what does God say about wisdom? Verse 11 of Proverbs 8, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. In another Proverbs, move down to verse 19 of Proverbs 8. Verse 19 and 21 of Proverbs 8. Verse 19. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. Verse 21. That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasury. Wanting to excel in our life's pursuit can be a good ambition if being useful to others is our objective. God approves of our gaining the necessary skills, knowledge, and that brings favor and advancement in this life. As a wise servant of God wrote, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. That's Proverbs 22 and verse 29. God wants us to have concern for others, to be motivated for our desire. Sometimes our service to them will result in wonderful rewards for us, but only if our hearts are focused on giving rather than giving. Getting. Will our desires be channeled in the right direction? We must replace coveting with service and love for other people. The book of Hebrews reminds us not to forget to do good and to share with such sacrifice. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. We should look to the example of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 33 through 35. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 33 through 35. I have coveted no one's silver, this is Paul speaking, or gold, or apparel. Yes, verse 34, you yourself know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. Verse 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. That he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul never was, quoting from the New King James Version Study Bible, commenting on verse 33 through 35. Paul was never motivated by money or renown, as proven by his labors that provided for his own needs and those who served him. In conclusion, to combat covetousness, we must have faith that God will provide a way for us to satisfy our legitimate needs, not our wants or desires, but our needs. Number two, covetousness cannot be defeated without help from God. And number three, we need to orient our desires in the right direction.